So just want to wish everyone a good morning, and especially on the eve of a three-day Yontif, it's for women to come out and to participate. It's really something great to see. And hopefully what we'll try and accomplish this morning is to try and share just a few ideas on some of the tefillos, on some of the prayers that we say over Yom Noram period. Most of them are going to be related to both certain ideas of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the entire Yom Noram period. And it's just so important because we go ahead and we spend so much time engaging in the tefillah, in prayer. And very often, as we'll talk about, there's some even things, that prayers that we recite daily on multiple times a day, and we don't necessarily have an appreciation for what they mean. Sometimes some of the concepts that we're going to be mentioning are a little mystical, and maybe seem a little bit esoteric, a little bit difficult for us to comprehend, but hopefully at least their messages will be something that we can appreciate, and also go ahead and that while we daven, especially for the Yom Noram period, but even some of them are going to apply for all year round, it's going to enhance the tefillah experience. I think one of the reasons why very often people have difficulty with davening, or there's talking during davening, or they're uninterested in davening, or the person says, well, Rabbi, davening doesn't really do anything for me. A lot of that is due to the fact that we don't appreciate the words of tefillah, we don't understand the deeper meanings behind the words, and as a result, we're not able to tap in to the essence of what tefillah, of what prayer is all about. So this year is in particular focused on trying to enhance our davening. And I selected some ideas that are not just pertinent for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Yom Noram period, but also important for all year round. And so the first one, you don't really need your maksa for. Because the first one is something that you've recited literally, not hundreds, but thousands of times throughout your life. And that's on source number one. That is with regards to the recital of Kaddish. Now we know during the Yom Noram period, Kaddish is a very significant prayer. The tunes that are associated with the Kaddish, there are a number of different tunes that are utilized, whether it's the Kaddish tune, before Musaf on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which we already began the custom in many communities, is to have that tune by Slichas Night on Motzei Shabbos. When a person hears that tune, you have the tune before Ne'ilah. And so the Kaddish as a prayer is a central focus of the prayers throughout our davening on any day. But significantly, we're going to see that with regards to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the key elements of what makes Kaddish so significant are important throughout the entire year, but especially on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And so we begin our discussion, you look on top, when we know that if you'd have to ask yourself, well, what's the most important part of Kaddish? Right? You would suggest that, well, it's the line that both the Shatz, the Shliach Tzibur, the one who's leading the prayers, and the one that the congregation both say. And what is that? That's the line of Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach Li'olam Omei Omaya. The idea being that Yehei Shmei Rabba, may his great name be blessed forever and ever. And when we are involved in saying that line, we have to understand why is that such an important line? Because what that line expresses and how it links right away to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and the entire High Holy Day period is because that line expresses the idea, it's a tefillah, it's a prayer, to bring more kavod shamayim into this world. To bring more honor for HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world. And what that means is that we live in a world, as we're going to see in the first Mefarash, where the acceptance of God as the Melech Malchei Amlochim, as the King of Kings, as what we call the Hashem Echad, is not universally accepted. The whole world has not come to the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Jewish people have. And therefore, because of that, it's not in its perfected state. And so what Kaddish is a tefillah. To a certain degree, it's a prayer that is hopeful of the future when Yehei Shmei Rabba, when there'll be that time, may it be that time, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the idea of who God is, and understanding of God as the Melech Malchei Amlochim, the omniscient God that we believe in, should be something of a universal idea. That's not just a Jewish idea. We don't have a monopoly on the concept of God, unlike other religions. This idea is a universal idea. Our God is for everyone. And not everyone has to believe in the Tayag Mitzvahs, not only one has to do the mitzvos, but the acknowledgement and the understanding and the realization and the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is something that's ultimately going to occur. And that's something that we pray for in the words of Kaddish. So one of the ideas that's brought down right away, you'll see, is an interesting idea, which is Shmei Rabbah, and this is from the Eitz Yosef in his Otzer HaTfilos. So he says, Yesh Mefarshim De Gimel Tevos Hein Shem Ka Rabbah. That there's an interpretation, there are those who understand that the two words Shmei Rabbah, his great name, that's what it literally means, Shmei is from the word Shem, and Rabbah is great. So Yehei Shmei Rab is, may his name be great. There are those who say that Shmei Rabbah is actually, which appears to us as two words, is actually three words. What's the three words? The three words hang. Shem Ka Rabbah. The name of Ka. Now Ka, the reason why I'm not saying Yud and Hey, is because Yud and Hey is an expression of one of God's names. And that's why we say Halleluka, right? We don't pronounce the Yud and the Hey together, because pronouncing it together, we do it when we're davening. The idea, we do it in a context of saying God's name, we will say it fully out. Otherwise, we say Ka, because we don't want to pronounce God's name. So Yehei Shmei, so this interpretation sees God, the word Shmei, as Shem Ka. That the name of God, Rabbah, should be great. And what this expresses, he goes into it, we're not going to go see it inside, is that he says that this is an idea based on a pasuk that we find in the Torah, okay, not a medrash, but the pasuk in describing the nation of Amalek describes Amalek as kiyad al kes ka, that the hand of Amalek is up against. This is a text in Bishalach, Parshas Bishalach, that the hand of Amalek is up against the throne of God. It's a pasuk that expresses the idea that Amalek is the arch enemy, not only of the Jewish people, but of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rashi there interprets on the basis that this pasuk talks about the throne of God, Keska, the throne of God, but interestingly enough, there's an aleph missing. Because normally, how do we talk about a chair or a throne? It's called a kisei. But in the pasuk, it doesn't say kisei. It says kes. And Rashi cites the idea that as long as there's an Amalek in this world, God's throne is not complete. What does that mean? What that means is that Amalek is the complete opposite of the Jewish people. The Jewish people are in this world to be the Or La'amim, to be the light to the nations, to instruct the world in the Ribbono Shalom, that there is a God. And this God is not only the creator of the world, but he's what we call a mashkiach. There's hashkacha, there's divine providence in the world. He's interested in the world, and he's involved in the world. That was the great experience of Pesach and all the Makos and the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The nation that stands against this idea and the nation that represents the polar opposite is the nation of Amalek. Amalek is the one throughout history who is denying that God is involved in this world. And that's the battle that exists both in the Midbar experience, in the Purim experience. So when we talk about this idea, this first idea that he suggests, is that Shem Ka Rabbah, that the Kaddish is a prayer, that it is a prayer for a time period where the Shem Ka, the name of God, the Yud and the Hey, and the recognition of that name in this world will be Rabbah. It's not going to be just the Jewish people that acknowledge God's involvement in this world. The entire humanity, all the world, will come to accept this idea, what we've been saying all along, of Hashem Echad. Right? That there is a one God, and there's a one God who is involved in this world. He's the creator of the world, the author of the world, but also has the Hashgacha, is also involved specifically with regards in this world. That's one idea that he brings down. And obviously that's a very important idea when we talk about the concept of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Because so much of our prayers of Rosh Hashanah, specifically, are all about, and we're going to talk about it in different tefillot that we recite, is about coronating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the blowing of the shofar. So much of it, HaMelech, the descriptions of God as a king, is all about the acknowledgement and the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it also has elements within our tefillos, specifically of not just us, the Jewish people, recognizing this, but V'chol Bo'olam, V'nasa Chulam Aguda Achas. When we say that phrase, and we're not even having the sheets, but in the Shemoneh Esrei, we say this idea that the whole world, right, the Kulam, everyone should be Aguda Achas, one in one union. It's not talking about the Jewish people. Rosh Hashanah is not, there are elements of Rosh Hashanah that are not specific. Pesach is very specific to the Jewish people. It's very particular because the themes of Pesach are particular to God selecting the Jewish people as his nation. But when we talk about Rosh Hashanah, so there the themes in terms of an understanding of recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the day of creation is a theme that's really appropriate far beyond the Jewish nation, and it's a universal concept. So that's something that the first idea of Shmei Rabbah that the Eitz Yosef brings connects to this idea. If you skip down to the very end of the last paragraph, he's going to bring down, cite another idea. He says the Eitz Yosef, Od yesh tam al Shmei Rabbah. There is also another interpretation when we say his great name, Shmei Rabbah. Rabbah behepech hamila bara. He says, what is the Rabbah great? Well, if you re-scramble the letters, behepech hamila, if you re-scramble the letters of Resh Beis Aleph, you also get the word bara, Beis Resh Aleph. What is bara? Create. Klomar, and we'll have to see what this means, b'shem ka sur olamim. What are we saying when we say Shmei Rabbah? So one interpretation. Now again, these seem to be a little lofty ideas. And what we're going to do is we're going to try to explain them and explain them at least where some of the messages from these lofty ideas are ideas that, you know, we can think about when we're davening. So whereas the first idea of Shmei Rabbah was Shem Ka Rabbah, a tefillah for the future, this actually talks about the past. And Shmei Rabbah, re-scramble the letters of Resh Beis Aleph and make it Beis Resh Aleph, Bara. Shmei Bara. His name created. And we quote the Pasuk Klomar, B'Shem Ka Tzur Olamim. With the name of Ka Tzur Olamim, God fashioned the worlds. Now that's a little bit of a esoteric, mystical kind of statement. With the name of God, Hashem created the worlds. So we have to try and understand this. And if we understand it a little bit, based on its primary source in the Gemara, at least a message that comes out of this is very, very appropriate, especially for the time period of the Yom Noram. And that's if you go down below. If you go down below, we'll see the Gemara. Now the Gemara picks up on the Gemara has quoted a pasuk about trusting in being trusting in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it quoted the pasuk Ki Beka Hashem Tzur Olamim. That's the full pasuk that we refer to in the Eitz Yosef. Ki Beka Hashem Tzur Olamim. Okay, Ki Beka Hashem Tzur Olamim. So the Gemara wanted to ask. If you go to, it's the end of the second line. We're going to pick up the Gemara there, five words before the end, after the comma. The Gemara asks, "Maishna d'chsiv b'ka, v'lo k'siv ka." Why does it say bika? B with a bays in front of this word. It's a prefix. Why say that? Do you want me to say kika Hashem sir alamim? So kididarash Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi. So we're told it's as if as explained by Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi, elu shnei alamos shebara kadosh baruch hu. That with the prefix bays, it's not just telling us ka as a name of God, but it's as if he's saying bika Hashem tzur olamim. With ka, with the yud and the hey, elu shnei olamo shebara kadosh baruch hu. Yud and the hey represent the two worlds that Hashem created. Echad behey, the echad beyud. Now that's a very, you know, lofty idea. What does this mean that God created worlds with letters? Like, this is very difficult for us to comprehend. There are also midrashim that talk about that the 22 letters of the alphabet, the Aleph Beis, were the blueprint for the creation of the world. So it's a little difficult for us to understand this particular concept, but at least what we're going to try and derive it is that there's some message in terms of linking particular letters, especially viewing them connected to the creation of the world. And that's what we're going to try and get to. So the Gemara says, Echad behei ve'echad biyud. Ve'eni yodea im ha'olam haba biyud va'olam hazeh behei, im ha'olam hazeh biyud va'olam haba behei. So now there's a quandary. If we take it that yud and hey, God created the upper worlds and the lower worlds, well, what's the Gemara's question? Which is which? Which letter is associated with which world? And the Gemara, ultimately, Rabbi Yehuda, comes to the following connection. Kishu Omer, and we're four lines from the bottom, the last five words. Kishu Omer. So he quotes a pasuk. It's a pasuk in Bereshis. And the pasuk says, Eila todos ha-shamayim va-aretz bi-baram. That these are the chronicles of the shamayim and the aretz of the heavens and the earth, bi-baram, when he created them. Now, al tikri bi-baram. So the Gemara comes along, Rabbi Eloi says, don't read it bihi baram. Don't read it in the letters that talk about when he created them, but rather read it ela behe baram. Read it that, in other words, we're taking the license to look at a word, to take out a letter of the word, and to re-understand that that word means. So bihi baram literally means when he created them. But we're taking the license, Rabbi Eloi is saying, we're going to take that license, and that hey is telling us, behei bar'am, that he created this world with a hey. Hava omer olam hazeh behei, olam haba biyud. It's coming to tell us that, again, the pasuk says, ki beka Hashem tzur olamim. Ki beka, and we're reading it, with a yud and a hey, God fashioned olamim, worlds. Olamim is plural. With though, that's how we're going to understand this verse. He fashioned the worlds, this world and the upper world, olam hazeh, olam haba. Which letter is for which? The hey is for this world. Now, if you will appreciate the end of this Gemara, you'll clearly understand at least a message that we can derive from this. Again, very difficult for us to comprehend. What does that mean? The upper world's with you, this world's a hey. So the Gemara asks, umipnei ma, two lines from the bottom. Why was this world created with a hey? What is significant about this letter that it should be written with, that it should be associated with this world? So the Gemara says, because it's comparable, our world and the hey are comparable to an achsadra. An achsadra is a pavilion. A pavilion is not closed in. And the Gemara says the letter hey is not closed. Right? As you know, that when we have the osios of the hey, just to, you know, just as, you know, sometimes if you visualize it, right? So you have the hay. So we notice that the hay, if you look at the hay is constructed, it's almost like a dalet. So it's two lines, a vertical and horizontal line on top of each other. And then you have the left leg that does not meet, it's not like a ches. The leg does not meet the roof of the hay, and it's open on the bottom. So the Gemara says the hay is like an achsadra. It's very open. And says the Gemara, Shekol harotze latzeis yetze. Because in this world, whoever wants to go can leave. What does that mean? It means to say that whoever is in a relationship with God, Whoever has a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's no gun to our heads. A person wants to leave, and by this we mean a person wants to, let's say, be involved in transgression and violations and not following the dictates or whatever they're supposed to be following, you could do it. A person wants to violate the Shabbos, violate the Shabbos. You want to eat treif, eat non-kosher. You can do what you want. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God created a world that gives us what we call Bechira Chofshit. It's free will. We could do what we want. Do as we please. We're not forced. So that's what he means to say. So that's the significance, and that's the world that he created. Cholarotze lotzeis yetze. So the Gemara asks, Umataima talya kare? So why is the left leg hanging? You know, right? The left leg of the hay is just like out there. It's not connected. It's not rooted. It's not connected to the top of the roof of the letter. So my tamataika, so Gemara says, no, the hadar b'tshuva mailele. Because if a person wants to do tshuva, guess what? There's a way back in. The top of the letter is not sealed. Because there's an entry point for us to get back in and to restore that balance of our relationship, i.e. to do tshuva. And here's where we get to at least an essential message that we can draw from this concept. That God created a world where it's not like you're knocked out of the box and you're out. There is a way back in. Literally, the word tshuva is from the word shuv, to return, to come back. So the Gemara says, interestingly enough, ulayel bahach. Why doesn't he just go back right up? Or she? Why doesn't she just go back up? They fell back down, right? Lo yetze. They went out down. They should go back up. Lo mistaya milsa. So the Gemara says, you know what? Because that's not going to help you. You can't go back just retracing your steps. You have to do something different. And we're going to see something. We're going to see this idea echoed in something that we're going to be mentioning with regards to Tkiyas Shofar. That when we go ahead, and it's going to be a little bit of a theme of some of the other Divrei Torah that we mentioned this morning, that when we go ahead and we seek to do our return, we're not going to merely go back from where we came from. But a person is going to do as the Rambam talks about, they're going to change. They're going to almost become like a new individual. They literally are going to become someone else. And that's represented a fact that you're not going to go back into the hay the same way you fell out, but you're going to come around. That's what Gemara means. Lo mistalia milsa. It's not going to work. Because you keep on doing the same things that you did every single year, usually you're not going to fix. There's not going to, maybe it'll be temporary, on a temporary basis, but it's not going to be permanent. To make it permanent, a person has to create that strong level of change. Now, when we talk about Hashem Tzura Olamim, this is a very significant idea for the world when we talk about Rosh Hashanah. Because on Rosh Hashanah, just like Shmei Rabbah, Shem Ka Barah, the name of God created, what an important message for Rosh Hashanah where we celebrate the creation of the world. So yes, saying Yehi Shmei Rab is important on any day. And we say it multiple times on any given tefillah that we recite. But when we talk about Rosh Hashanah, where, for example, we're not going to focus on it, but we know in the Musaf, repetition of the Musaf, after the shofar blowing, very often it's associated with a song, we sing Hayom Haras Olam. And Hayom Haras Olam literally translates, Hayom, today, is the birthday of the world. So in being the birthday of the world, we're taking this concept of identifying and linking this concept of the hay to the creation of the world. And then on the bottom, I'll just say it outside, is a very nice story. We won't do it inside, but it's a story of the Netziv and Rabbi Yitzchak Elkanan Spector. This Rabbi Yitzchak Elkanan Spector is the great tzaddik that reads Rabbi Isaac. It's based on Rabbi Yitzchak Elkanan Seminary. Is named after this great gadol, So they talk about this. It's brought down that they were both in St. Petersburg on Rosh Hashanah. They were advocating on behalf of the Jewish community. And there was no one in St. Petersburg, the Russians, at that time, the Tsar, had certain rules where Jews could live and where Jews could not live. Because St. Petersburg was the seat of government, therefore they weren't allowed to live there. The only meeting was Rosh Hashanah. They happened to find themselves there, and they had no one, really, there were no shuls, except there was one shul that was there for Cantonists. Who are the Cantonists? Some Jewish history. But the Cantonists were those Jewish soldiers in the Russian army. They were usually drafted at age 5. There are tremendous stories of the horrors that would go on in Jewish families when the Russians would come, when the Tsar's army would come by those towns to collect these Jewish boys, and they were never seen again by their families. Then they were never really allowed to have any formal Jewish education, completely disconnected from the community. And he goes on to say how these two great tzaddikim entered into this shul because they were allowed to be in that city. They were part of the army, and they were allowed to be present, and they had a shul of these Cantonists. And he says how it came to Rosh Hashanah, and the elder, the Zaken, the elder of these Cantonists, got up and he started to speak. He started to motivate the crowd. And he talked about the idea that their lives have nothing. You know, because he says, what do people daven for? So people daven for children, people daven for parnasa, people daven for life. He turned to them and he says, what lives do we have? We're not allowed to get married. We're not allowed to have children. We're not allowed to have families. We're not allowed to be part of a community. This is our life. Our life is strictly, and even when you talk about food, we're given the food. We don't have a choice of what we eat. We have it. And ultimately he said, you know what we're going to daven for? We're going to daven yiskada v'yiskada shemei rabba. We are going to daven that there should be a greater level of kavod shemayim in this world. And when these two righteous tzaddikim, the Netziv, and Yitzchak Elchanan Spector saw that this group of people on a Rosh Hashanah, that's all they cared about. And that's what they davened for. And they davened for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says how their eyes welled up with tears. And whenever they told the story, they would cry. So that's one idea that we have with regards to the recital of Yehei Shmei Rabbah. If you turn over to the other side of the page, and I have too many pieces to do, so we're going to skip around. So we'll go to source number 3, just to see an interesting idea from source number 3. Now, if you have it in your machzor, I'd say it might be easier if you go to Musaf. If you go to Musaf, and if you're following in the Yitzhak Yar Siddur, so in the Yitzhak Yar Siddur, I will tell you what page it is on. Right, so you could find it on page 320. The first one, we could do it on page 324. Because we're going to go with Musaf. We'll follow it with Musaf. It'll be easier. So right before the first bracha that we recite after the basics of Shmona Esrei, so we say the bracha each time of our tefillos, every Shmona Esrei of Rosh Hashanah, starting with Maariv, and then Shacharis, Musaf, and Mincha, all end the same way. It's the bracha that expresses the special characteristics of the day. It's what we call the bracha on Kedushas Hayom, the sanctity of the day. And we talk about the following. Kata Elokim Emes. For you, God, are Emes, are true. Udvarcha Emes, your word is true. Vikayam La'ad, and exists forever. Baruch Atah Hashem. Then we say Melech HaKol Aretz, God is a king over the world, over the land. Mekadesh Yisrael, sanctifies Israel, V'yom HaZikar. So, if you look in source number 3, so an explanation of what does it mean, Ki'ata Elokim Emes, that God is true. So he brings down, this is from the Shaila Torah, says, Shamati lomar habeir, ti b'shamayim hakol emes, v'zu ha-safa sham. That in Shamayim, everything is emes. Everything is true. V'zu ha-safa sham. This is the language that exists. The language of the heavens is a language of truth. Nimsa shema odom chas v'chalila mispalo. U'mishakar b'tfiloso. You don't necessarily appreciate this, but if a person davens and is false in their prayers, they're not true to their prayers. It's as if their tefillos are not really listened to. Because that safa, the language, you know, the language in this world you can deal with people, you know, they say something and it's a complete untruth. It's sheker. So here it passes. Hey, we live in a world, I'm sure we've all experienced, you know, where someone is not telling the truth. But in Shamayim, it's this idea that we talk about Ki Atah Elokim Emes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes. So when we approach the Ribono Shel Olam, it's necessary to use the language of truth. Mikan Shem Adam Rosh Yetzivaso Tishma Teskabel. So if we're looking for the efficacy of our prayers, if we're looking for our prayers to be accepted, Bitzumim Shel Hayom Naram Lechem B'chol Hashana, throughout the whole year, on Rosh Hashanah, Harisha Allah B'Rosh Hashanah, Rishona B'Rosh Rishonah, L'Espalo B'Emes. We have to be truthful in our tefillot, Mimamake Libo, from the depths of our hearts, Ulevakesh Rachamim Allah V'Albeso, to seek mercy on behalf of ourselves and our families, V'Alklal Yisrael B'Emes, V'Lochas V'Sholam Misofa L'Chutz, She'oz Tefilaso Klal Eina Nishmas. If our prayers are not sincere, if there's not a sincerity to our prayers, it's not just like we're not done. We're not even going to accomplish anything, because up above, it works in a system that the language of the Shamayim is a language of emes, and therefore shekein einzu asofa sheba medabrin ba'oso makom she'elav hu rotz yashtivaso yagyu. We want our prayers to get there, but we have to use the language that's over there. Like, we have to be astute to understand that we have to communicate on that level of what is acceptable there, and what's, and therefore we have to be true. We have to have this. We have to have specifically this sense of emes. This said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is true. Ki Atah Elokim emes. Now, another idea that he brings down on the other side, I'm not going to go into it in great detail, but he says Ki Atah Elokim emes udvarcha emes v'kayim lo'ad. Now, here is a question that's a very, very good question. We have a rule, and possibly I know that sometimes you've covered some of the laws of brachos, I think, throughout the last few years. But the idea is that when you have a bracha, when you have a blessing, especially not the blessing like we make a bracha, Bari Priya Eitz, but when you have a bracha in the context of a tefillah, many of our brachos are brachos that express certain themes before them, certain ideas, and then we make a bracha. There is a rule. The general rule is that the last idea mentioned in the words leading up to the bracha, before we get to the words baruch, are what we call me'ein hachasima. It's a general rule. It has to express the idea that's linked to the end. We don't just throw something out and then get to a bracha that has nothing to do with the end of the bracha, Berachat Hashem, whatever we're going to talk about, has nothing to do with the last line of the tefillah. It has to be that the last line of the tefillah is what we call Me'ein HaChasima. It's a general rule of brachos, that it has to be that the last line of the bracha before you get to the Berachat Hashem, that last line thematically is linked to whatever you're saying after Baruch Atah Hashem. It has to correspond. There has to be this connection. So here, the question that's asked, and we recite this bracha over and over again on Shemona Esrei, is how do we end this bracha? We say, Ki Atah Elokim Emes, Udvarcha Emes, V'Kayim La'ad. We say this idea that God is true and His Word is true. What does that have to do? How does that link to the bracha? Because the bracha is Baruch Atah Hashem, Melech Al Kol Haaretz. Now, most people are just interested in seeing that on tune, right? Melech Al Kol Haaretz, right? You're going to be saying it over and over again. But we should pose the question. Now, this is an idea that was shared by Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. That's the Ro's father. And so Rav Moshe Soloveitchik says, and this was said in the name of the Griz, he says, suggests the following idea. Again, what is our question? Our question is, we normally have a rule that the last line of the bracha prior to the actual words of blessing of Baruch Atah Hashem is Me'ein HaChasima, has to be thematically connected to whatever that bracha is. Here in our Rosh Hashanah Tfilos, it seems that Melech Al Kol HaOretz has nothing to do with that last line of Ki Atah Elokim Edrecha Emes HaKayim Lad. We're talking about God's truth and that God's word is true. The Kayam Lad, and it endures forever. Melech HaKol HaOretz, that God is the king over all the land. Apples and oranges, like what's the connection? So he shares a very beautiful idea where he says, and it connects also, he doesn't do this, but I'm going to preface it with a certain idea that we do every single day, multiple days, possibly even more than what we say Yehi Shmei Rabba. And even if you go into Rosh Hashanah with this idea, very powerful idea. We say every time, some of you are even holding beverages. And when we say a beverage, what's the bracha that we make on a beverage? Sha'akol niyeh bidvaro. Okay, let's step back. What does that mean? Sha'akol niyeh bidvaro. Sha'akol, that everything, niyeh, should be and exist, bidvaro, with his word. So what does that mean? We have said that thousands, maybe even more than thousands, maybe a million. Right? Shahakol niyeh bidvaro. And what essentially it means to understand that bracha, and then we'll get it to understand, answer up this question in terms of our Rosh Hashanah davening, is that we talk about the idea that Rosh Hashanah commemorates the birthday of the world, when God created the world. There's a famous concept that's brought forth, as we know, Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, ba'asara ma'amaros nivra ha'olam. It's in Pirkei Avot. It's ethics of our fathers. That with 10 sayings, God created the world. When we see Parshas Bereishis, right? Yehi or, let there be light, and there was light. Right? Let there be water, and that yikavu amayim, let the waters separate, they're separate. In other words, that each one is, most of them are Yehi. Let it be. God first said something, there was a spoken word, and then that became a reality that came into existence. Now, all too often, especially when we're in grade school, our perception is that God said these words, and that was it. Then he's off, you know, he's checking his Facebook account. You know, that's how we understand it. But what we have to, what Sha'akol Niyeh Bidvaro really gives testimony to is what? Sha'akol Niyeh Bidvaro is saying that everything that God caused to come into existence through the spoken word, it's not that that was it. God continues that spoken word. If we see light now, it's because that original Yehi Or that existed still exists. And we acknowledge that when we actually take a drink. Shahakol Niyeh, that everything exists bidvaro, with his spoken word. Because the word of God that caused this world to be in existence is still going on. It's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would withdraw that word. If that word would not endure, the world would cease to exist. It's only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this connects to the idea of the Hashgach of God's involvement in this world. Everything exists in this world because that original, those original words of creation are still existing in this world. Shahakol Niyeh, that everything exists bidvaro because of the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We exist because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The drink that I'm benefiting from and that's nourishing me and that's sustaining me is also from that. If we understand this idea, okay. So what do we talk about here? Ki atah Elokim emes udvarcha emes. your word that brought everything into existence, your word that's still the Kayam Lo'ad, that endures forever, that allows everything to exist, that thematically is connected. Baruch atah Hashem, melech al kol ha'aretz. That's why you're a king. Again, what was our question? Our question was, what does one thing have to do with the other? It has to follow a me'ein chasima rule. The end of the bracha has to be patterned on the conclusion of the bracha. But how does Be'ach Kol Ha'aretz connect to the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a dvacha emes v'kayim lad? Now we understand. Because it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word, Udvarcha emes, the words that created this world and still to this very day sustain the world, that's what makes Al Kol Ha'aretz. There is no Aretz without HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. So just a very nice idea to appreciate a bracha that we all sing, but now hopefully have it on a little different level. If you turn over to the other side of the page, this is a very very nice idea. You know, again, we do so many things by rote on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We're like programmed, and we never sort of sometimes have to stop and ask ourselves, what are we doing, right? So before shofar blowing, right, so usually everyone is standing up, and we recite a particular chapter of Tehillim, right? We recite a chapter of Tehillim. We recite the Tehillim of Lamnatzeach, Livnei Korach Mizmor, right? For the conductor of the sons. For those of you who have Machzorim, if you go to the section of Tkiya Shofar, it should be in the 420s somewhere. I have a different version. If you go right before, you could follow this. I don't have it in the Siddurim. Actually, it's Mem Zayin. So if you turn to the back of your Siddur, there is the Tehillim. So you go to Mem Zayin, 47, chapter 47. Lamatzeach livnei Korach mizmor, for the conductor by the sons of Korach a song. Now, first of all, we just have to understand that very often when we talk about the authors of Tehillim, so a person says, oh, David HaMelech authored Tehillim, and only David HaMelech, but that's not true. There were a number of authors to Sefer Tehillim, to the Book of Psalms, not just David HaMelech, and one of them happened to be the sons of Korach. And so we have this particular chapter, 47, Lamasech Nekorach Mizmar, Hariu Lelokim Bekol Rina. Obviously, all your nations, right, join hands, sound the shofar to God. So we clearly understand this idea of shofar. But you have to ask yourself a question. We have other prakim of Tehillim that have the word shofar in it. Some of them are used actually in the section of shofros. We have other prokim of Tehillim, other chapters and psalms that have the word talk about Tikku b'chodesh shofar b'chesed l'yom chagenu, which is actually, we could have said other chapters. If you think about it, here we are, we're getting ready to blow the shofar, and we choose a chapter of psalms that was authored by the sons of Korach. Not exactly the most ideal individuals or family, you would think, to connect to the mitzvah of shofar blowing, unless it really has a significant message. And so I saw a beautiful idea, the Be'er HaParsha in Parshas Korach of Elimelech Biederman. If you go to source number 4, and he develops it, he says the following, we'll see it inside. He says, Kiyotze bedava omer mishem, or even a Kodesh HaMagid Mitrisk. He quotes from the name of the Trisk HaMagid, Zchusa Yogan Leinu, Levar Atam Sha'orim Matzeach Lufnei Korach Mizmar, Lufnei Tkiya Shof Rosh Hashanah. Why do we say this particular capital? Kishanu Ondim Be'esis Oris HaTshuva, Kodem HaTkiyas. Because he says the following. He says, you know what happens sometimes to people? People are, you know, if the Rav gave a really good, you know, very often the Rav gives a good drasha, hopefully I do, I'm not so sure, but hopefully you at least will think so. But, you know, you get inspired, Be'esesoris, you're awakened, Hatshuva, Kodem Tkiyas, Pa'omim Shemito Chejban Nafsho. Sometimes what happens is you start doing a Chejban HaNefesh, person starts doing introspection, Bo'odom L'deyeyosh. You know what happens? A person comes to a sense of yeyush. What's yeyush? Yeyush is where you give up. Yeyush is hopelessness. Yeyush is a person, you know, they come to such levels of introspection, and they get depressed, and they give up hope. It's like yeyush is always a term that's employed with regards to lost objects. Like, when, if I find something, when can it become mine? When is the prior ownership that was related to this object, when is that no longer in play? And now this, there can be a transference of ownership in the sense that I could own it. Finders, keepers. When can the finder be a keeper? So it's after the object that was lost, where the owner, the first owner, gives up on it. That there's yeyush. That the owner gives up on it, then there can be a transfer of ownership. Now, so it's a halachic concept, but we also apply it in terms of our hopes and aspirations. And yeyush is where a person gives up. And so he says it could very well be the person comes to shofar blowing, they're thinking about the tshuva, and they go ahead and they give up. They ba'adam lidei yeyush, ki avda tikvaso, all hope is lost. Umachlich lo toilo hachuv. And the person thinks, you know what? Tshuva is not going to work for me. It's just not going to work. Whatever the issues are. So therefore, lachain maskirin lo es b'nei Korach. So nah. I always tell people all the time, people get depressed over their davening. They get depressed over their mitzvah observance. They get depressed over their learning. They're not. This happens very often in yeshivas, where students feel they're not learning on the level that someone else is learning. Where you aspire to something, but you just think it's not achievable. And so, what we do is at that moment, that's why we mentioned the Bnei Korach. Shekfar nivlu ba'adome. Because the sons of Korach, they were with Korach. They were part of the rebellion. And you know what? They were even swallowed up. They were already in the ground. Uverega achron, hero b'tshuva. At the last moment, they're already in. At the last moment, they did tshuva. Vizachu, and they merited, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, shemakom nispatza lehem begehenim. We say that a spot jutted out, a little rock jutted out when they were falling, and they didn't fall into the abyss, the chayim sha'ola. They didn't fall in like their father. They were there, and Rashi in Tehillim says, they not only got saved at that point, they actually exited and gave words of prophecy about the future rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash and the end of times. Umehem yilamed kolish Yisrael. And from then, we should all learn, three lines from the bottom, kolish Yisrael. Sha'athim u'kfar betoch adomo. Even if the person is all swallowed up, the end looks like it's right there. A person has to know that the Rabbono Shalom is always there and always there to accept tshuva. He's always there to accept it. We say every single day, we make the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem HaRotzeh B'Shuva. HaKadosh Baruch is a rotzeh. He wants us to do tshuva. And if we ever think, and what I tell people also, if you ever get that thought of yeyush, it's the Yetzer Hara. It's the Satan. It's all that stands to keep you distant, because it knows that you're thinking, you're making a cheshbon, you're making a calculation, you're trying to, you take that moment of self-introspection and self-reflection, and you identify something, and you have a thought that you can maybe change it, you can maybe enhance it, you can maybe improve it. Anything at that moment that stands in the way of doing it is the Satan, is the Yetzer Hara, basically telling you, you can't do this. This is not for you. L'matzeach nei korach mizmar is expressing that particular idea. And he takes it a little further. He quotes Rabbeinu HaKadosh Mitochnov. He says the following. He quotes here in the second, if you look in the second column, Heich Oma Moshe Rabbeinu, Im Kamos Kol Adam Yumusun Ela. Another idea he finds from Korach that should inspire some tshuva. He says the following, Moshe Rabbeinu, we know that there was the threat to Moshe's rebellion, but the rebellion of Korach presented a threat to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe then goes ahead and says, "Im kamos kol adam yumusin ele." If these people, if these rebel rousers, these rebellious individuals, if they die, kamos kol adam. This is a pasuk, not medrash. If they die a regular natural death, lo Hashem shalchani. Hashem didn't send me. Moshe bases his entire legacy on their death. If they die supernatural, which ultimately happened, that would be a testimony and vindication for Moshe's leadership. That Moshe was right, and their ideas were mere accusations and a rebellious attempt to take away from his legitimate authority. But if, kamos kol adam, but if they die a regular natural death, lo Hashem shachani. So ask the question on this the following. Look two lines from the bottom. How could Moshe go ahead and make that stipulation? Isn't it possible that they could have done tshuva? When Hashem is telling God, and he's telling God about this, you know, what to do, and if they die a natural death, Hashem, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is telling. It's possible that they could have done tshuva. And if they would have done tshuva, there wouldn't have been a ground opening up and there wouldn't have been something supernatural. How could he hinge his legacy on this? That's the question. How could he say Lo Hashem Shalchani on the basis of that? So top of the third column, El Abiro. What is the Beiro? What is the explanation of this? The Lachain Dayik Im Kemos Kol Adam Yimusun Eile. He said, if these people die a natural death, Shrei Bal Tshuva Nasa Ketinak Shenolad, his statement did not take into consideration. It wasn't a statement. It was a statement based on where they are now. And he said, if these people, where they are now, don't change and don't do repentance and are not Bali Tshuva, if they're the Aleph, they're the same people that they were, then my statement is a true statement with regards to vindication or not. Meaning to say that Moshe Rabbeinu himself was not, his statement was on the basis that they wouldn't do tshuva. Ela, because if a person does tshuva, when they do tshuva, they are a different individual. He actually uses the phrase, ketinok shenola, that's how we look at it. They're like a child that is born. They're completely new. And that's the power of L'Matzeach Ne'akorach. That we say it seven times before Tekiah Shofar is saying this idea, a bit of a Hasidic idea, that it's for us to look to the B'nai Korach and to see B'nai Korach as an inspiration, that we should never give up. We should never lose hope. The doors of tshuva are always, and the doors of repentance are always open to us. And then I want to end, we just have a few minutes, 5 minutes. So I want to end, we're going to jump ahead. I want to end with, and it's something that needs to be developed further, but I want to end with source number 7. If you go to the back page. Now just give a word of introduction, and then we'll talk about things. If you have your machzorim, we'll just go back to that musaf. If you go back to musaf in your machzor. Okay, so if you go to Musaf in your Machzor, again in the Yitzhak Yair, we can find it. It begins on 320. Okay? So if you have Musaf, let's just go through the basic order of Musaf. So Musaf is that we have the first three blessings that we always have in Shemona Esrei, the section that's referred to as Shevach. That's the Baruch of Baruch Magen Avram, Mechayim Baruch Atah Hashem Mechayim Mesim. And then we're ultimately going to say Melech HaKol Aretz Mekadosh Yisrael. We say HaMelech HaKadosh. Sorry. We say Kadosh Ata V'Nor HaShmecha Baruch Ata Hashem HaMelech HaKadosh. The three blessings of Shevach. The end of the Shemona Esrei is the same as on Shabbos and Yontif, which are the brachos of Hadah. We say Modim, we say Atov Shemcha L'cha Nelodos, and we Mevarech HaSamo Yisrael B'Shalom. Those are the blessings that we specifically say. On Musaf, we have the three added sections of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. However, we have to understand that Malchios does not get its own bracha. It's subsumed. And therefore, if you look in the Shmoneh essay, after the Kedusha Sayom, after the Kedusha, you get to Atav V'chatanu. Atav V'chatanu then goes into Nechateinu, like a regular Musaf. Then you get into Uvachodesh Hashvi, which is the recital of the Karban specific for that day. Again, like we do on a regular Musaf. But then we begin with Aleinu L'Shabeach. Okay? And then we get the first section of Malchios, and that goes to the end of the bracha. If you go to the end of the bracha before, either I don't know if you're looking at Chazar Shasats or not, but you get to the bracha of what we said was Melech HaKol Aretz Mekadesh Yisrael V'Yom HaZikaron. So Malchios doesn't have a separate bracha. Malchios is subsumed within the bracha of the Yom of the holiday itself, the holiday bracha, the bracha that expresses the Kedushas HaYom. Zichronos and Shofros each get their own end bracha at the end of Zichronos and Shofros. They have a specific bracha. So we have a total. Any Shabbats and Yontif, we have 7 blessings. Shmoneh Esrei during the week, we have 18, which became 19 brachos, the addition of Lal Shinim. But on Rosh Hashanah, we have 9 brachos. The 3 beginning that are the same, the 3 at the end that are the same, Shabbos and Yontif, and then we get 3 in the middle, 1 expressing the Kedushas Hayom like every Shabbos and Yontif, that's 7, and that's like every Shabbos and Yontif has 7, and then we get 2 additional brachos. The structure of each one of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, of these 3 special sections that we inject into the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, is comprised of A, psukim and ideas that express the theme of Malchios, that God is king, the idea of Zichronos, that God remembers and the God accounts, and Shofros, where throughout history we have had the Shofar and what the Shofar represents. We have the expression through verses of the theme, and then we have proofs. Right? That's why you hear so much in the Shmoneh Esrei, in the Musaf recital of Shenemar. Shenemar, Shenemar. Because we have a series of 10 proofs. 3 psukim from the Torah, followed by 3 psukim from the Ksuvim, followed by 3 psukim from Nevi'im. So it goes a little out of order. We're not going to get into it now. It's a little technical. Why? Because normally it's Tanakh. You would think you would have Torah, Nevi'im, then Ksuvim. But you have the first, you have the Ksuvim. So if you're following, for example, right there we were Balmach, we were by Malchios, so we say Aleinu L'Shabeach, right? We say Udvei Kachecha Kasuv Leimor, and then we say the next paragraph Al Yidei Avadecha Neviim Kasuv Leimor. So when we recite the 3 for the Ksuvim, it's Udvei Kachecha, and then when we say for the Neviim, it's Al Yidei Avadecha Neviim Kasuv Leimor. Each one of them are proofs to the theme that we're expressing. Okay. So when you go to Zichronos, so now we have that Hakdama. If you go to Zichronos, so Zichronos is an idea where we say it's broken up into the paragraphs. Before we get to the Devrei Kachecha, and prior that, the end of the, it starts with Atazocher Maasei Olam, right? That God remembers the deeds of this world, the Maasei Olam, the events that transpire in this world. That's what God. I know we're a little over time. Can I go a few, 2-3 minutes? Okay. I think it'll be a little worth it. If you go to the end of the paragraph, before we get to the proofs, because the proofs are always introduced, if you look here in the paragraph, if you go a few lines above, because I know everyone has different ones, but in this paragraph, Ata Zocher Maaseh Olam, it says, Kakasu Besarasecha, as it's written in your Torah. We're bringing, the first thing that we do when we bring the proofs is the 3 proofs from the Torah that God remembers. And in this case, we say, Kakasu b'sa'asecha, v'yizkor Elokim es Noach, he remembered Noach. The next pasuk, v'nemar, v'yishma Elokim es Nakasam, he hears the cries of the Jewish people referring to Egypt. V'nemar v'zachati es b'si Yaakov, I remember, then he says, he goes ahead and I remember the covenant that I made, the Psukim in Vayikra, the Zechati Esbisi Yaakov, Esbisi Yitzchak, Esbisi Avram, Esko, Ve'aretz Eskor, that I will recall the covenant that I made with the forefathers. So Noach, Egypt, and the covenant that he made with the forefathers are the Pesukim. If you go right before that, though, we find you go a few lines by the before that. It says it starts Vigam es Noach, Biava Zacharta. In other words, within expressing the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers the deeds that are done in the universe, before we get to the proofs, and we're going on, it's very interesting. If you look at the entire, all the words up until this point that express this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers all the events, and he goes over all the nations, Eza Lacherev, Eza, he right, which one is going to have battle, which one's going to, Eza LaShalom, Eza LaRav, Eza LaSova, all these ideas that God takes an accounting of the world. But then he says, Vigam es Noach be'ahava zacharta, towards the end, again, right before Kakosu b'sar secha, there are three different lines, four different lines. Vigam es Noach be'ahava zacharta, I remembered Noach. V'atifkideu b'dvar Yeshua rachamim, and I remembered him and I saved him with salvation and mercy. V'aviyachez me'abul, es me'amabul, l'shachez kol basav ne'ram aleim. Because of the evilness of their ways, I brought a marble to destroy them. Al kein zechrono balofanecha. Therefore, his memory comes before you, Hashem Elokeinu, lahabozaro kafros tevo tzetzav kecholayom. Therefore, his memory comes before you in order that what? In order that you should go ahead and you should cause us to grow and develop, to be like the sand of the beach, kecholayom, the sand of the sea. You have to ask yourself, I think, a question. Here we are, we're taking Zichronos, we'll conclude very quickly, and we're bringing in about Noach. Like, why the Gamas Noach? We could have ended, we don't mention anybody. We don't mention Avram, we don't mention any of the Avos, or any of the experiences. Or you know what? Mention Mitzrayim. There's no greater act that we do to remember that God selected us than Yetzias Mitzrayim. Almost all our mitzvos are about Yetzias Mitzrayim. If you were going to pick one thing where HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembered us, it would be Mitzrayim, I would think. Tefillin's Mitzrayim, Kiddush is Mitzrayim, Shema's Mitzrayim, Pasha's Vayomer, Mezuzah's Mitzrayim, Sukkah's Mitzrayim, Pesach is Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is an, if I'm going to talk about God remembering, but we don't do that. There's one character we pick, Vigam es Noach. We bring in how God brought, we start getting into stories here, the people were bad, Roam Alam, they were evil. And then we say he brought a marble, he destroyed them. And what's interesting is that we link ourselves. We have to understand, the Mefarshim struggle this, because we say this idea that sets up, when we say, Lahabos Zaro, Kafros Tevo, that sets up Kechol Hayom. We talk about Zaro, his seed. We talk about his descendants. We're referring to ourselves. So a lot of Mefarshim said, we never refer to ourselves as the descendants of Noah. We don't refer to ourselves as the seed of Noah. And therefore this line, when we make that reference, a lot of Mefarshim say, we're talking about Avram. Because Avram, we talk about Zerah Avram. Avram, we talk about being descendants of Avram. Avram was promised to be the descendants. But that's not what it literally means. It's the literal meaning is we're talking Vigam es Noach. It's in the context. We don't mention Avram. It's talking about Noach. And we are identifying ourselves as Noach. So one idea, if you look on the sheets, so just to, and we'll complete, we'll end with this. We'll end with this part. Is Vigam es Noach, if you look in the Eitz Yosef, so it says, Klomar, Kemosha Sisa im Noach, Shefkarata oso bedvar Yeshua v'rachmim, Kemochein tifkot osanim. Says the Eitz Yosef, you know what we're asking for? We're asking is you save Noach? You remembered Noach? You were merciful to Noach? Be that way for me. Vigam es Noach. We're asking God to recall that. Matter of fact, the Ian Tfilo, we're not going to read it inside, he takes it a step forward. He actually says that like Noach wasn't, it's like, almost as if we're saying Noach wasn't from the Makabel Torah. Noach didn't even receive the Torah and you saved him. So we, who are the Makabel Torah, we who did accept the Torah, almost you're setting up that Noach is, there's an element that was inferior in the sense that he wasn't a Makabel Torah, didn't accept Torah, and yet he was saved, therefore save us. If you look on the bottom, and then I'll just end with my conclusion, says Dover Shalom, says the Dover Shalom, Noach gam, Noach bi ava zachata, you with love you remembered Noach, kedas rabbalazo, de be'echad betishrei charvu hamayim. So already now we're getting a little thing. Oh, you know why we're talking about Noach? Because it's according to Rebbe Lezer in the Medrash, in the Gemara. He said, what is the idea? Noach was Charv L'mayim. That the idea is that on the first of Tishrei, that's when the waters dried up. The Yonah didn't come back. That's when Noach knew that the world was saved. And that's Aleph Tishrei. Well, Aleph Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah. So it makes sense that on Rosh Hashanah, we're commemorating, there's a little idea commemorating the fact that this is the day that Noah realized and recognized that the flood was over. But I want to suggest perhaps another idea. And this is why we bring in the idea of the Mabul, why we bring in about the evildoers, and why we mention Noah. And that is that Rosh Hashanah, linked to some of the ideas that we mentioned, is all about rebirth. Noach represented a world born anew. It's that kitinok. It was the world. The world was that tinok, because the world was created for a certain purpose. And when God saw, as we mentioned, the evil of the people that existed in that time, He brought a mabul l'shaches kol basar. All that He created, He was willing to destroy. Why? Because creation has to serve a purpose. And if it doesn't serve that purpose, linking back to what we said, the concepts of Shmei Rabbah, they create a world that has to operate with certain values, with certain morals. If that world is not living up to its responsibility, as it was represented in the Dor HaMabul, it needed to be...